All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Turn that up a little bit. Good morning. It is December 31st, 2025, the last day of the year. Thought I would come upstairs, see if we could sit down and, you know, wrap it up, I suppose. Not gonna. But just sit down and chat a little bit about the year, maybe. It's been a great year for me. I went to a meeting this afternoon, the noon meeting. It's actually not morning. I just have a habit of saying that. It's actually, what time is it? It's 2:17, if we're going to get, you know, official here. But went to a meeting this afternoon at the dry dock, and it was a great meeting. Great reading. As Bill sees it, I'm going to read it because they don't have enough books. Well, I don't know. They only have a few books. So I didn't get a book, so I didn't get to read along. And there was other things going on, and I didn't quite pay exact attention. But the response from the reading from the group was very positive. Love that reading. That is a great reading. So I'm going to read it right now, and it's page 148. It says, More Than Comfort. And I think this is a pretty popular read because, you know, people said we should take that page out. That's a good page, you know, put it in your pocket or whatever, but a continuous reminder maybe, huh? But yeah, page 148, More Than Comfort. When I am feeling depressed, I repeat to myself statements such as these. Pain is the touchstone of all progress. Fear no evil. This too will pass. This experience can be turned to benefit. These fragments of prayer bring far more than mere comfort. They keep me on the track of right acceptance. They break up my compulsive themes of guilt, depression, rebellion, and pride. And sometimes they endow me with the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Yeah, that is great. You know, I've always heard, you know, we do the work until the pain stops. I'm guilty of that several times. I shared the other day, you know, my biggest goal was to stop drinking, right? And I solved that on the first day. And I probably rode that way for a little bit, that pink cloud, enjoying just the fact that I'm not drinking and I'm not drinking and driving. So all the crazy things that came from that, I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting with my parents, right? I'm not disappointing anybody. You know, people aren't worried who they're going to see that day, which version of me. You know, a lot of big problems were solved that day. And, you know, it kept me in the program for a while, but eventually, you know, the other problems start showing up, right? The rest of my character defects start showing up, and, you know, and that's what the steps are here for. And for that, I am super, super grateful. You know, I don't know if it's politics. I don't know what it is, but it was several people in the meeting that, you know, were basically like, you know, this has been a terrible year. It just keeps coming. And I'm like, God. And, you know, of course, they didn't go any further than that, but basically that was the theme. You know, it's been a tough year, been a rough year. Can't wait till this year's over. I don't feel that way. I think it's been a fantastic year. You know, I sponsor three guys. All three of them celebrated anniversaries. I didn't drink, you know, I didn't plan to, but, you know, that's always at the top of my gratitude list, right? And you know, I've been there for my dad. I've been there to, you know, help take care of my father's house and all of the worries that he might have. My brother and I have had a great relationship. The kids are healthy. Work's been fine. You know, I don't have a lot of expectations, right? I sort of lowered my expectations. I just sort of want to be of service to somebody, right? Stay sober, you know, be there for my family. You know, it's been an amazing year. I did share at the meeting the other day, though, that this Christmas was very boring. And I thought about what I said, and I almost wonder if I didn't sound like I was headed towards drinking, and I'm not. But, you know, recovery can be a little boring. You know, there's not a lot going on. I'm just sitting around and hanging out, and I guess that's great. But, you know, that day, I had to say it, and after I said it, I actually felt better. You know, I am grateful that I'm not having to deal with all the shit that I used to deal with. Nobody likes you. Everybody. God, what a great song. Green Day, Letterbomb. Yeah, so it is the last day of the year. I haven't really paid much attention to it. My son and I actually, like I said, I actually got up this morning, rolled out, and went and visited my father, hung out with him for an hour. He's doing great. I feel bad. I wish he was with us more. But he's doing good. He's happy. Hung out with him, took him some coffee and some fruit, and he was loving that fruit. And, you know, he's content. He is, he's accepted what it is, which is that's where he lives. He's never really honestly complained about it. He's been pretty passive about the whole thing. I do believe that he had obviously some depression early on. And my dad was quite sick early on too, so I'm not sure he thought he was going to make it, but he did, and he's actually doing quite well. And so him and I had a great chat. I wish he was a little more, you know, user-friendly with the phone. I mean, he used to work the phone just fine, but somehow it's become a huge issue. But I wish I could send him stuff and, you know, funny stuff. And we did. We watched some videos on YouTube this morning, and we had a good time, and he was happy, and I was happy. And so, but I did need to leave. I did want to make the meeting. The meeting was great. You know, there is, you know, and a few people did share, you know, some hadn't been to the meeting in a while. Some were struggling. Some were considered drinking at certain points of the year. And, you know, it was reminded to me early on through the readings and through people, you know, having had the spiritual awakening, right, of these steps, our job now is to be there for the next alcoholic. You know, not when we're down, right? Not when we're having tough times. You know, we really need to be there all the time. You know, when I showed up March 31st, 1997, they came and found me. I didn't even show up to a room. they actually came upstairs and found me and invited me down. And that's just recovery, man. That is how this program works. You know, 1 minute into the program, you are now 1 minute more sober than the next person coming in, right? It's always, you know, because I remember early on, I was like, how can I be of service to anybody, right? I'm a fucking absolute piece of garbage. And my buddy said, man, you got 3 days, right? You may have a guy that comes in here with no days, and you might be the first handy shakes. And, you know, that's recovery. That's how this works. And it may save his life. And I was like, I don't know how that could ever work, but I'll believe you. Well, today I totally understand, right? You know, the Bill W. and Dr. Bob and all the folks that put this program together knew that at some point I would get better. And, you know, just like everything I do, when I succeed or get better, you know, I begin to slack off. And that's how recovery is. And I didn't have a lot going on, but there would be a time, you know, in my journey where, you know, I would become cynical and start to feel like, you know, nobody's getting this and no one's as sober as me and no one understands this and, you know, just whatever insane demons start creeping into my head, but they do come creeping. And I have to always remind myself, despite whatever it is, I think, despite all of the stuff, whether I love it or dislike it, I need to be here for the next alcoholic. And, you know, I just celebrated 17 years, and I've said this a few times, but it's not the last time I told a lie, right? It's not the last time I stole. It's not the last time that I cheated. And unfortunately, those three character defects in themselves can be what brings down any alcoholic way before the drinking, right? The lady that shared talked about, you know, she's done the same thing, hasn't been going to a lot of meetings. Her, you know, New Year's resolution is to get back into the boat, you know, surround herself, a 90 and 90. If she doesn't get a job, she's going to do 120 and 90. And I, you know, I love that. I think that's fantastic. You know, in the Drop the Rock book, and I need to order that book because I'd love to talk about that in this podcast. But it talks about Mary, you know, the boat, leaving the island, leaving Sober Island, right? This island that we arrive when we decide to put down the drink, right? Really the main island of hope. That's the one, that's, I think, where we all want to end up, Sober Island, right? But it talks about, you know, especially in the 6th and 7th, doing the character defects, you know, making that list and the shortcomings and trying to understand what really, right, what's really, you know, the ingredients of this fucking mental stew that I have and what are my real problems, right? Because, you know, drinking definitely was a problem, but man, I got a whole pocket full of problems. And, you know, this that Drop the Rock book starts talking about it and starts identifying them. And you know, then it talks about the boat that leaves that island, Sober Island, and starts headed to Serenity Island. And, you know, the name of the book is Drop the Rock, which is basically drop the character defect, drop, you know, find some accountability, take some blame, have the courage, be honest, right? Let it go. And it talks about Mary trying to swim from the island to the boat, and the boat's headed to Serenity Island. And that would be the first time I really heard about Serenity. And I just thought we wanted to be sober. But she's trying to catch the boat, and they're like telling her, Mary, drop the rock. It's drowning you, right? Because Mary has all these rocks tied around her neck, like necklaces of issues. And she can't, right? And she's drowning. And eventually she lets go of the rock, and she gets to the boat, and they pull her on board, and onward to Serenity Island they go. And it is an amazing miracle, right? Accountability, honesty, right? Taking responsibility, you know, and just, you know, from the heart, not from the head. Like, not like, okay, fine, I did it, right? It's like, yeah, I did do that, right? And, you know, and trying to figure out why we do these things. But it's not drinking, right? Like, I can still get a coin, right? You know, that coin becomes so shiny, right? So important. That polished pocket piece that goes in our pocket, and it is great, man. It's fantastic. But I can't get confused by, you know, how important that is. And the reality is, and we definitely start learning it in the 6 and 7 step, but there is something more, which is serenity. And God, you know, let's say the prayer, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it's such a big deal, right? It is such a big deal, and it's so peaceful, and it requires so much. But once we can get there, right? But the cool thing about it is we get there together, right? In the boat, right? With others. It's not like, oh, and, you know, so-and-so was in the boat by himself headed to Serenity Island. No, he was in a boat with other people headed to Serenity Island as a group. Right. And Mary was trying to catch on. The problem is, and this has happened to me, right? Or I don't know if it's, I mean, I don't know if it's happened to me, but I get it, right? Because what I will say is that, you know, I got to where I have gotten in the middle of the herd, right? In the middle of the boat, surrounded by people trying to do the same thing. But when I decided to leave, right? Because that is the decision that we make. I made the decision to not do this anymore, and I swam home alone, right? We're not in a boat for the group. All right, the boat headed back to Sober Island, leaving Serenity Island is leaving, and it's not loaded with 10 people. There is no boat that goes from Serenity back to Sober. You swim it, and, you know, hopefully you don't drown and die. Some people have drowned and died trying to get back to Sober Island. And if we can make it back, which I did somehow, I made it back to Sober Island to take a second swing at this thing and to really take a hard look at these steps. And finally, am I ready to be 100% honest, right? Am I ready to be accountable? Am I ready to turn over every stone? Kind of, you know. I will say that probably the biggest thing for me this year is just realizing that at some point I have to become sick of my own bullshit. That's sort of my thing right now. You know, that last 10% of shit we got to work on, nobody sees it, right? Nobody hears about it. It's within us. You know, it's the last 10% of the things that we do, the last 10% character defects, the shortcomings, right? The last chunk. That one guy said he thought maybe shortcomings led to character defects. I'm wondering if shortcomings are the stragglers that, you know, the last kiss before we leave the character defect. I don't know. But call them what you will, it's that last 10% that are done privately that nobody sees, nobody hears about, in our car, in our houses, in our between our ears. You know, and at some point, we have to become sick of the bullshit, the last 10%. And, You know, I feel like that's what this year has really been about for me. You know, 17 years in sobriety, and I feel like in this year I've started to become sick of my own bullshit. You know, and it's just, and it started with really my thoughts. You know, why is it that when something happens, my immediate thought is kill that fucking asshole, right? Smash that asshole, crash into him, flip him off, say a cuss word, butt in, mind my own business, right? That's a one that was suggested to me early on. Mind your own. And I was like, oh, okay, shit. No. But, you know, it's that last 10% that we have to fix on our own. You know, we can, no, you're not telling anybody about it. It's your private 10%, but you know, it changes everything, you know, and that's really what this year has been about for me, is really trying to clean up that last 10%. And I'm not going to get into it. It's mine. It's private. We all got it. I know we do. I think that is the toughest part of recovery, right? It is. And it says it in that, you know, pain is the touchstone of change or something like that. Somebody was upset. They didn't like that. But, you know, I don't change my ways because I'm comfortable. I don't change my ways because I'm happy and everything's going my way. No. You know, they say pain, I call it, what is it? Act of providence, right? Something so humiliating that, you know, we, whether it's ego devastation, complete humiliation, something so embarrassing or bad that the devil finally leaves and gives us an opportunity to make clearer decisions for a brief moment. I don't know what it is, but, you know, that's been my recovery, right? I came in, I put down the drink, and I was pretty happy with that. And then I remember, you know, my buddy Scott telling me that I hurt his feelings by calling him a chatty Cathy. Now there's some pain. Now I'm going to fix that, right? Learning that I should put the shopping carts back early, I was like, oh, God, I should. I didn't know that. Starting to put the shopping carts, you know, that embarrassment. You know, pain is always kind of tied to, you know, bleeding, broken bones, crying, ouch. But, man, there's nothing more than humiliation when you get humiliated, those brain creases, those real ego-puncturing moments when Scott called me told me, that hurts my feelings. I'm not friends with him anymore, unfortunately. I miss those guys. And but, you know, it's moments like that. I remember my buddy Doug, who sold me my first house, was dying from cancer. And I saw him at a meeting, and I go, Doug, you got to come by and check out the house. You know, like, it was all about me. And he goes, I'm dying of cancer. I don't give a fuck about your house. I was like, oh, crushed, right? And I know he didn't mean that in a hurtful way, but he's like, you know, dude, I got other freaking problems to worry about than, you know, how much you love your house. Could he be said it? Could he have said it a different way? Maybe, but I think I got the point. But you know, then the pain started, and then all of a sudden I'm like, well, maybe I just think everything's about me. So it is these moments that, you know, shift my thinking, that I've gone through, that, you know, those were like in the first couple of years. You know, I've had, a lot less of those moments, but they still happen. And then, you know, there's still more work to be done. And, that's what's left me here at this point with about 10% of my problems that I've been really trying to focus on and, you know, clean up, right? Just clean it up. But I think the problem for me is that I'm, you know, I'm focusing on cleaning up so much stuff that I'm just sort of bored now. Not that I was that excited with being bad, but my God, you know, I guess my life is to just sort of exist, work, provide, watch TV and do the same thing over. I was telling my wife, I said, when these kids are grown up, we're out of here. We're getting a freaking camper and heading towards Utah. I want to go to the desert and look at the beautiful views and just get away from the East Coast and, you know, just go find life. Not that I haven't been living a fantastic life, but I want to explore the planet that I've been so blessed to be on. And, yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, to wrap it up for me at least, you know, 2025 was a great year. Despite what anybody thinks, the back and forth, I feel like we are headed in a better direction. Sometimes you don't want to see how the sausage is made, but, you know, we're in trouble. And I hope that, you know, with some of the things going on, we will have a country to be around in the next years to come. And I know that's tough for a lot of people, and that sucks, right? I wish we all rejoiced in some of this stuff. And believe me, I hear other things, and I think maybe there are some issues. But, you know, for the most part, you know, it's been a spiritual, this has been a spiritual year for me, because there's been a lot of spiritual stuff going on, and I feel like it's sort of like a holy war. And it's really turned a lot of people on one another. I was thinking about it the other day. I lost a lot of friends, and I'm pretty easygoing. So, you know, hopefully those relationships will return, and hopefully, you know, positive things, I'm hoping, will turn out. But yeah, so yeah, 2026 should be great. I feel great. I feel healthy. So let's read, let me read the daily reflections, and then, you know, I hope everyone has a safe New Year's. I hope we don't drink. You know, I have been working, well, I'm not going to get into that. All right, daily reflections, all right, here we go. The last daily reflections of the year. All right, daily resolutions. I don't have any New Year's resolutions, so I'd ask, does anybody else, but I would never find out, so... I do not have any resolutions. In fact, I was just talking to my oldest son. He's like, "You got any resolutions?" I'm like, "No, I feel pretty good." Yeah, I feel pretty good. All right, let's read it. December 31st. The idea of 24-hour living applies primarily to the emotional life of the individual. Emotionally speaking, we must not live in yesterday nor in tomorrow. As Bill sees it, page 284. A new year, 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours. Okay, 525,600 minutes, a time to consider direction, goals, and actions. I must make some plans to live a normal life, but also I must live emotionally within a 24-hour frame. For if I do, I don't have to make New Year's resolutions. I can make every day a New Year's day. I can decide today I will do this, today I will do that. Each day I can measure my life by trying to do a little better. By deciding to follow God's will and by making an effort to put the principles of our AA program into action. That's right. You know, that's... You know, like I said, you know, when I was at the meeting, everyone was like, "This has been a tough year. Been a tough year," and you know, it's been a great day. But like I said, this isn't the last day that I've, you know, lied or cheated or stolen. And when I say stolen, like peace of mind, I don't know. You know, they're just three great words. I mean, I'm not stealing anything, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not perfect, right? I am not Serenity Angel, right? I'm not Serenity Steve. I have my moments. I get small glimpses of it. And, but I will say that, you know, it is great. We get to start our day over again. And, I think in the last 17 years, I've learned out, you know, what's really important. Like I said the other day, what I used to think was awesome turns out isn't as great as I thought. And the things that I used to hate turn out to be pretty important. So I think that's probably the greatest thing I've learned this year. Well, not this year, but in that I've been thinking about is just how important everything that happens in my life is. All right. Anyway, happy New Year. Don't drink. Have a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye.